Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review on this 17th of August, 2013. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. On this edition of the Serial Queen Review, busy program, a lot to do in this hour as we discuss the world of sports. You can always call, you can follow me at on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up on Facebook at .com/SurrealQuinn, or go to SurrealGeraldQuinn.com as well. For my Blog Talk Radio audience, I am on currently on the chat line, so kind of questions, comments that you may have, certainly feel free to chime in. As we near the NFL season, countdown to kickoff 2013 continues, countdown to football in general, college football season just 2 weeks away, as far as, or a little bit less than 2 weeks away, as far as that goes, opening weekend where you'll see Clemson and South Carolina go, you'll see Clemson and Georgia, I should say, go to battle during that kickoff weekend for college football. So a busy football program as well. We'll preview the AFC AFC West. We'll look at that, and we'll also start looking at teams who I feel like have a chance to beat Alabama. But we begin with A-Rod, I think this might be like the third time in like the last 7 weeks that I've led a program with A-Rod. It's not intentional. It's not like, you know, when I'm preparing these shows throughout the course of the week, and I'm saying, hey, how can I squeeze A-Rod in here? This was last minute, yesterday, like when I saw this stuff about A-Rod, and, you know, there's not a lot going on in the sports world right now, you know, unless you want a training camp recap on time, you know, how Tom Brady looked against Tampa Bay. I mean, unless that's what you're into, he's healthy, that's all you need to know. But anytime you're looking for a story, anytime you're looking for something to talk about, A-Rod's your man. He will never let you down, ever. And, you know, you hear that he leaks, that apparently people within his inner circle leak names to baseball, whether it be Francisco Cervelli and Ryan Braun. And I'm still getting 60 minutes, you know, 60 minutes along with Yahoo. Yahoo came out with this article in February. 60 minutes backed it up. And what I'm trying to figure out is, okay, A-Rod's done a lot of dumb stuff. We know A-Rod when it comes to PR, when it comes to just making quality decisions, is not the greatest. We understand that. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out how A-Rod would win by doing this. if this is true. Because right now, A-Rod's only friend is the Players Union. I mean, this suspension is not going to get overturned. That's not going to happen. But to me, A-Rod, the Players Union, is the only thing between A-Rod and a lifetime ban, as far as I'm concerned. That's it. So you're going to rat out two people who are part of that union? For what? I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not like real life where, you know, a guy's in the mafia, he rats some big bosses out and gets, you know, 20 years off his sentence. It's not like that with this. There's nothing that A-Rod could do to help himself by doing this. And that's the confusing part to me about it. I mean, would we be shocked if A-Rod did this? No, of course not. It's A-Rod. But again, I'm trying to figure out how A-Rod wins by doing this. And again, this isn't, you know, 60 Minutes. You're talking about two reliable sources in terms of news reporting. When you talk about, I mean, 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes not, 60 Minutes has nothing to gain by reporting, by making this stuff up on A-Rod. 60 Minutes doesn't need a made-up story about Alex Rodriguez. I mean, I don't know, 60 Minutes has been on for 50 years. Like, please. I mean, 60 Minutes is one of them top. 60 Minutes is the top, the number one rated show in this time slot. I mean, it doesn't, like, again, when 60 Minutes comes out with something, I look at it and look at it to be credible. I don't look at 60 Minutes as one of these National Enquirer magazines. You know, then A-Rod comes out yesterday. Well, my image, people are gonna be looking to tarnish my image. A-Rod, your image, please. You can't tarnish your image. I mean, outside of committing a federal crime, yeah, like a murder or something, you can't. Your image is pretty. It's done. There's no. It's like kicking a dead horse. Like, there's no. You can't further tarnish A-Rod's image. It's not possible. So again, 60 Minutes and Yahoo are just reporting the news, reporting the story. So that's their motivation. There's no personal motivation against A-Rod. They're just reporting valuable sources, good information. I don't understand. If this is true, I don't understand A-Rod's motivation about this, with this. I don't see how he wins if this is true. Yeah, I get the saying, misery loves company. I get that. But, you know, these players were going to get, regardless of what names, these players, I mean, Major League Baseball wanted Ryan Braun almost as bad as they wanted A-Rod. And those are the two targets in the offseason, throughout the whole offseason, this whole particular offseason, going into the regular season, was A-Rod and Ryan Braun. For two separate but different reasons. For two of the same but also separate reasons. (347) 215-6180 is your call number. Just getting started here on this busy edition of the Serial Quarter Review. A lot of football talk. We'll also touch on some Redskins stuff as well. We'll also get into some more baseball. A lot of news in baseball this week. We'll touch on that. On this edition of the Serial Quarter Review, we'll be right back.
wide and her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was quite loose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try some love, you might find you get that to me.
Minutes after 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 347-215-6180 is your call number, Saturday morning headlines. Speaking of Ryan Braun, he now says he's going to come out in the next couple of days or so and admit to using PEDs in parts of the 2011 season. Here's the problem with Ryan Braun in trying to now all of a sudden rebuild his image. Last year, when baseball dropped the ball, which they clearly did, because he would have been suspended last year had they taken care of their business cleanly with the handling of his sample, his urine sample. He was so adamant and cocky about, you know, like, as if to say, how dare you question me about PEDs. And he came out last year and said, hey, the process played itself out. I've been proven innocent. I'm ready to start the 2012 season with my teammates. Had he been more humble about it, this process of him, you know, rebuilding his image would be much smoother. And people would just look at the on-the-field results come 2014. Now, you know, listen, he's going to have to go out there and just set baseball on fire. And still people are going to get questions about him. Like, you know, is he clean? Is he still doing it? I mean, you know, he did not have to come out and say that, you know, he could have came out and even denied it yesterday, last year. Say, listen, I've never done this. I don't know what they're talking about. And kept it moving. But he was just so adamant about, you know, baseball and, you know, this is BS. This is not, you know, I don't see what is baseball talking about. I never, you know, he was overly cocky. As if baseball was not going to resume this investigation a year later, which he certainly did not anticipate. Alabama starts off the season as expected at the top of the Associated Press's top 25 poll. Associated Press, which, by the way, has no power in determining a national championship. They have their own trophy and they do their own thing, but it carries no weight. Only the name of the Associated Press and what it's done in past years carries any credibility or weight. But as far as choosing a national championship, it carries no weight. But we look at the Associated Press anyway, just because that's what we do that's what football fans, college football fans, do in the preseason. Alabama starts out number one. You have Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, Stanford 4, and rounding out the top 5, Georgia. 5 SEC teams ranked in the top 10. South Carolina at 6, Florida at 10. I don't think Texas A&M should be in there. I'm sure Texas A&M, well, 6 of them, because I left out Texas A&M as well. So they have 6 SEC programs in the top 10, which there's no surprise. I mean, the SEC, again, has been hands down by far and away the best conference in college football, looking for its 8th straight BCS championship. So Alabama will start off number one in the Associated Press Press's program, Press's at the top of the Associated Press is rankings. 347-215-6180 is your call number. A lot to do on this program coming up. We will look back at last weekend's epic Breaking Bad episode. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number as we discuss the world of sports and also entertainment. And last week, if you are a fan of television and a fan of Breaking Bad in particular, you were treated to an epic episode, an epic scene in episode 509. First of all, just the opening of the show, when they flash forward, you know, they flash forward to where Walt's house apparently has been vandalized, it's been boarded up. He comes and he apparently left something. He takes the rice, the ration that he had drilled behind an outlet. He gets that. Of course, you see the gun, the M60 in his trunk. He speaks to the neighbor doesn't recognize him, basically, or faints, or drops her bags as she sees him. Then they show her, you know, when the episode leaves off, when the show leaves off where it picks up where it left off with from last season, or the first half of last season, I should say, the first half of this season, season five. This, the same lady as neighbor. And, you know, again, the build-up, again, this... You know, first that was brilliant in itself. The opening scene, the flash forward, just to get you kind of get you thinking what is going to happen, how he's going to get to that point. But then you know you go through the episode. Hank has his panic attack after he realizes that Walt is Heisenberg, and you know you get to the final scene, and Hank. You know, these are one of these episodes. When he sees, I didn't see coming. I thought Hank would kind of sit on this, contemplate what he's going to do, look, you know, start to do some more investigating. But the confrontation was just classic. Walt finds the tracker on his car, and at that point, he, you know, basically tries to sell Hank on the fact that, you know, I got cancer, you know, blah, blah, blah. When that doesn't work, he then says, hey, what, you know, why are you looking at me like this? And then, Hank, of course, Hank snaps, punches him in the face, and tells him that he knows who he is. And at that point, it's, you know, it's game on at that point. I mean, a brilliant scene. You could tell, I mean, and Dean Norris, who plays the actor who plays Hank, was brilliant in that scene. He was absolutely tremendous, not only angry, but you could tell he was hurt. And, you know, the sense of betrayal by Walt. And again, Bryan Cranston, who has just, you know, destroyed this role since day one, you know, played the innocent victim at the beginning of the scene, but then as the scene morphs into, hey, remember who I am, basically, by telling Hank, hey, tread lightly if you don't know who I am. I mean, that spells doom for Hank. I think Hank is done. I think either in episode 5 or 6 that Walt's gonna kill Hank and get rid of Hank some way, some form. In some way, shape, or form, I think Hank is finished as far as that goes. But that was, again, that just shows you what you're in for with this particular season. Remember, there are only 8 episodes in the season, now only 7 left. So every episode, there's not gonna be set up episodes and, you know, story building episodes. Every episode you're gonna get hit with, I think, with some haymakers. I mean, if you remember the Wire season 5, how fast paced everything moved with 10. So you know, with only 8 live storylines to tie up. This is what makes Breaking Bad so brilliant. Everybody's locked in on Hank versus Walt. The Hank versus Walt will not be the overwhelming, you know, it won't be the overwhelming battle in this season. It won't be that. Breaking Bad's going to do, I think, what they did in, like, season 3. You know, use the cousins. Like, in season 3, you remember, they use the cousins, or what happened with the cousins. They use the cousins against Walt and trying to kill Walt, and it turns out the cousins shot Hank, and it turns out, well, 2 things. The cousins shoot Hank, number one. They switched from Walt to Hank, and then that was the rise. They used that season as the rise of Gustavo Fring. So, again, great episode. One of the top 5 scenes in Breaking Bad history, in my opinion, with that Hank and Walt showdown. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, we will look at the AFC West. Is this the year for Denver, for Peyton, and the Broncos? We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. sweet music to a lot of ears, I'm sure, if you're an NFL fan. Of course, the classic battle NFL show theme song coming back, of course, in September with season 4 of the NFL show. Again, the first week in September will be either that Monday or Tuesday, a second week in September, I should say. It'll be either the 9th or 10th of September. That date has yet to be determined. Time has yet to be determined. But season 4 of Saturday of the NFL show is coming. Certainly looking forward towards that. We continue countdown to kickoff 2013 NFL. We're going to try to get on, and I was thinking about you this week for my fantasy football fans. We will try to get John Beckler II on in the next couple of weeks, hopefully next week, to give you a fantasy football preview. So we're certainly working on that. I'm working on that to have him on next week to talk about the upcoming fantasy football season, which I'm definitely looking forward to have a draft this week, matter of fact, coming up. But we go to the AFC West, a division that clearly it starts with the Denver Broncos as the team to beat. Denver Broncos coming off a brilliant regular season, a regular season that saw them land home field advantage throughout the postseason, but saw them fall in dramatic fashion in a classic double overtime game to the eventual Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens, a game that Denver, frankly, had no business losing. I give Baltimore a lot of credit, but you know, we all remember that 70-yard touchdown pass that forced the first overtime from that Joe Flacco thrown that shouldn't, just a terrible defensive play by the Broncos secondary, and that shouldn't have been a play that should never happen. Just terrible coverage by the Denver defensive secondary. Broncos fell to the Ravens in that playoff game, and Broncos return a team that has basically almost Super Bowl or bust aspirations. I mean, anything less than a Super Bowl appearance would be considered a failure for the Denver Broncos. Broncos come in, we all know the talent they have on offense, led by Manning. They add Wes Welker. They still have Demaryius Thomas, have some good tight ends. Question marks, though, they have some major question marks with the offensive line, though. Right now, you have Ryan Clady, who's an all-pro caliber tackle, and J.D. Walton, both are nicked up with injuries, have injuries. Clady will not, I mean, J.D. Walton's not going to be back, till October. And you have Clady, you know, who knows when he's going to be back. He'll be back, he should be back by trying to start a regular season. Maybe he might miss some time, but both of them are nicked up. So that's something to keep your eyes on. Von Miller could be out, depending on the appeal of his suspension. His suspension could be out for first four games of the season. Even with a healthy Von Miller on the field, the pass rush is a major question mark in my eyes, because he's the only real great pass rusher. They let go Elvis Dumervil, and Dumervil was on the downside of his career anyway. They do have a decent secondary. They did add Sean Phillips, which will help. But again, they're gonna need Von Miller to be a monster this year. If and when, you know, especially even if he's not suspended, because again, that pass rush could be an issue or lack thereof could be an issue throughout the course of the season. They have, for a first-place team, looking at their schedule is not crazy for a first-place team. I mean, now they do have games at New York, at the Giants, at Dallas, at Indy, at New England, at Houston. But all those games are spread out over the course of their schedule. They're all spread out. It's not like, you know, they're all spread out nicely for the Broncos. Again, the Broncos should hands down win this division. And they won't even need 13 wins. I mean, you can win this division with 10 wins, as far as I'm concerned. I think the Broncos will take a step back as far as the wins. It's hard to have back-to-back 13, 12, 14-win seasons. I think the Broncos will be 11-5 this year, but I think they will win that division, certainly be in contention to have home field advantage throughout the course of the playoffs. But again, major question marks with the pass rush, and also how healthy will that offensive line be come the start of the season. Next in line to me is the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City has a ton of talent. You look at Alex Smith. I know he struggled yesterday in the preseason. I'm not going to. And he's going to get San Francisco 49ers. I'm not going to go crazy about that. But you look at their skill position players, Alex Smith, Jamal Charles, Dwayne Bowe, Eric Berry. I mean, they have some guys. They have some. They had six Pro Bowlers on a team that was 2-14. I had issues with that, but what it tells you is they had some talent, and they were very poorly coached. You come in with Andy Reid. Andy Reid and Alex Smith should coexist very well, as far as I'm concerned. Alex Smith is a quarterback, you know, coming from a West Coast offense. Andy Reid loves quarterbacks who obviously don't turn over the ball. Donovan McNabb was like that with Andy Reid. Did not throw an interception, sometimes to a detriment, as he did not take enough chances. But more times than not, it worked out with the Andy Reid Donovan McNabb relationship and five NFC Championship appearances. Again, there they have Derek Johnson, Tom Motley on defense. They have a very talented defense. Tough schedule for Kansas City, though. I mean, they start out, to me, the key to their schedule will be at the beginning, where they'll be at Jacksonville, home to Dallas, at Philadelphia, home to New York, at Tennessee. Those five games, they need to be around. They need to get off to a decent – if they want to make the playoffs, forget about winning a division because they're not going to do that. But if they want to make the playoffs, need to get off to a pretty good start, 3-2, no less than 2-3 at the least. Have a tough stretch. Their key stretch of the season, they have a stretch where they go at Denver, San Diego, home to Denver, at Washington, at Oakland, home to Indianapolis, at San Diego. That will be, to me, the key stretch of their particular schedule. Again, I like this team. I think they are a classic team of new coach, new quarterback, fresh new start. I think they will have a bounce back year. I think they could be a 500 team. I really do. I think they can be 8-8. I don't think they will make the playoffs. Like, I don't think they'll go from 2-14 to making the playoffs. But again, I think they'll be greatly improved and really improved under Andy Reid. It's a fresh start for Andy Reid, not dealing with Philadelphia. I think that'll help him. Not dealing with some of the offseason distractions, some of the things that went on personally in his life last year. So I think this is a good situation for Andy Reid, Alex Smith getting a fresh start. So I'm looking for Kansas City to be the second-place team in the AFC West. The wild-card team in this division, a team that can go either direction, to me, is the San Diego Chargers. San Diego gets rid of A.J. Smith. They get rid of North Turner. So, to me, that was addition by subtraction to start off. Hire Mike McCoy. They hire Mike McCoy to coach the team. You have there's already been a lot of talk that their practices are more crisp. They're more organized. New attitude. Phillip Rivers, for all the talk about Phillip Rivers and what he hasn't done in the last couple of years, yeah, last year he was not as bad as everybody wanted to make him out to be. 26, he did throw 15 interceptions, but he also had 26 touchdowns. Again, Malcolm Floyd, how serious is his injury? He did get a second opinion, so they're still kind of waiting on that. He certainly is a key in terms of their receivers goes. How much gas does Antonio Gates have left? Can Ryan Matthews stay healthy? They did add Max Starks and King Dunlap on that to the offensive line. And DJ Fluker. The defense last year actually played well. And they were actually top 10 defense last year. Again, to me, this is about culture with San Diego. Are they as talented as they have been in the past? No. But it hasn't been about talent. It's been about just, you know, this losing mentality that they've had and this way of coming up small and not living up to expectations. Again, I think McCoy will do a very good job. And I thought Turner should have been fired a while ago. I'm looking at San Diego as being around. I think San Diego could challenge for that second place spot in this division. I think they're probably a 7-9 team. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they I think they're headed in the right direction. I think they're headed in the right direction again. A lot of it is going to they have too many question marks with Malcolm Floyd, Gates, and Ryan Matthews, to be honest with you. But I think they will be. I think you'll enjoy watching them play, and they won't make some of the mental errors that they've made in the past under North Turner. Last place team, of course, will be the Oakland Raiders. This roster, I mean, again, when your best player is probably your kicker, and your most consistent, your most reliable player, I should say, is probably your kicker, because you can't trust Darren McFadden to stay healthy. That's a sign of where your roster is at right now. This is a terrible roster. They have a decent secondary, and that's it. McFadden cannot stay healthy. If McFadden could stay healthy, he would be one of the top five. McFadden might be the number one. Outside Adrian Peterson, McFadden would be the number one pick, number two pick in a fantasy draft if he could stay healthy. Easily. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, Matt Flynn is your quarterback. Terrell Pryor is backing him up. I don't know why they signed Charles Woodson. To me, it makes no sense. Charles Woodson on a team that's going nowhere makes no sense. I guess the most encouraging thing you can say about Oakland coming into next year, this year, is the fact that they will have cap space in the summer or in the spring offseason of 2014. It's probably the most positive thing you could say about the Oakland Raiders. I mean, that's how bad a shape they're in. Again, 3-13, 2-14, maybe 4-12. They will miss the playoffs for the 11th straight year. Haven't made the playoffs since they lost in the Super Bowl back in the 2002 season. Look for that trend to continue. So, with the AFC West, Denver, team to beat. Kansas City next in line. San Diego can go in either direction. And Oakland bringing up the rear. That is the preview for your AFC West division on this latest edition of the Cyril Kuhn Review. When we return, we will get into some baseball. That's coming up and much, much more on this edition of the Cyril Kuhn Review. We'll be right back. After the 11 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cyril Kuhn Review. Of course, we have a lot of programming coming up in the next couple of weeks. Our NFL preview show will be coming up in a couple of weeks. Probably it will be a week before the season starts. Cyril Kuhn Review season / Saturday morning wake-up call season 6 coming up in a couple of weeks. Of course, coming up in the first weekend of September, we'll certainly preview, have a big program, go through the college game of the week, have a preview of the do our NFL picks. So let's have some fun with that. Talk about the Redskins. And speaking of the Redskins, I'm glad before we get into some baseball news here. Speaking of the Redskins, listen, you don't if you're a Redskins fan, don't make anything about this Mike Shanahan RG3. Okay, you have a quarterback who is a superior competitor who wants to play, and you have a coach who is being extra cautious, as he should be, based on what transpired last season. That's all you have. There's no more than that. And I don't need Bruce Allen, to come out and talk about they're good, basically, and the relationship is fine. Don't need, like, Bruce, come on, you don't need to say that. If the relationship is fine and perfect, you're doing, why say anything? Why defend, that's defending it. Why are you defending it, you know, what are you defending? You know, it makes me think about when a coach is on the hot seat and his general manager or whatever president gives him that vote of confidence, and that gives him that the kiss of death, which is basically the kiss of death. Like he's about to get fired. So don't worry about that if you're a Redskin. If you're a Redskin fan, I have to comment on this because I'm watching SportsCenter right now. Or not watch. SportsCenter is on. I'm kind of going back and forth with the show and checking out SportsCenter. Did anybody see this kid on the Little League World Series? This pitcher. I don't know what is that. I hope they show his name. This kid is not. What is the age? Is it 12 and under? It's only 12 and under. Anybody can feel free to call up and correct me because I don't keep up with Little League baseball. I somewhat get into Little League World Series because it is exciting, especially if you have a team from Jersey or from an area from where I'm from, Maryland, something like that. This kid, anyway, I think it's a California team. Patrick Art, okay. No, he's talking to the catcher. This kid, this pitcher, they have a pitcher that is like 6'4", 216 pounds, as a 12-year-old. I'm like, did they really check this kid's birth certificate? He must carry a birth certificate in his pocket. He has to. This kid's like a mini LeBron playing Little League Baseball. He's 6'4". This kid is huge. Like this kid is not 12 years old. There's no way he's 12 years old. There's no way. If I were another team, he would have to show me his birth certificate before the game started. Like, no, I don't believe it. I'm sorry. It is a giant. Oh, my goodness. 6'4", 216 pounds at the age of 12. Isn't there a weight limit in Little League? Maybe not. Maybe not. Apparently, clearly it's not. Again, I guarantee you, there are some Major League Baseball scouts at that watching right now. I guarantee you, at the age of 12. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Busy week in baseball. We already did the Ryan Braun, A-Rod stuff. As far as what's going on the field, Alfonso Soriano has been just tearing the cover off the baseball late in his last four games, 18 RBIs. Had the Yankees. Yankees are playing better baseball. They knocked around the Red Sox 10-3 yesterday. Soriano had, Yankees now are just 5 games back in the wild card, 7 games back in the division. So, I don't think the Yankees will make the playoffs, but I think I do. If I'm Boston or Tampa Bay or even Baltimore, I would not want to see the Yankees in September. Yankees are playing a little inspired baseball right now. They pitching well. Now you've got Soriano hot. So, Yankees are going to be one of those spoiler teams that you don't want to see down the stretch. But the big news over the week in baseball, minus the A-Rod PED and DED stuff, PED topics, has to be what happened yesterday with Charlie Manuel being fired from the Philadelphia Phillies. Charlie Manuel, after 8 seasons or 9 seasons, this was his 9th season with the Phillies, fired, clearly by far and away their best manager in Philly history. This is a bad, there are bad firings, but there are firings and there are bad firings. This is a horrible firing. You look at Charlie Manuel, this is the only season that Charlie Manuel as a manager has had a losing record as a Philadelphia manager. He had one losing season in Cleveland. First two seasons, he won 90 games, including a playoff appearance in 2001. He gets fired in 2002 after going to the playoffs in 2001 and leading them to having back-to-back 90-win seasons in 2000, 2001. So he really shouldn't have got fired the first time. This one's even worse. He comes to Philadelphia, and all he's done is win. They win 5 straight division titles. He's won two pennants, win a championship. I mean, like, do the Phillies think that they're the Yankees as far as their tradition goes? They are not a good enough organization to let go a guy of Charlie Manuel's magnitude, and it is not. I mean, this year, I mean, you look at it. 2011, they win 102 games, and they lose to a team that ends up winning the entire thing in terms of the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay, that Cardinal team was a big time team. Okay, last year, despite everything going wrong with injuries, guys underachieving, they finished the season at 500. This year, everything has gone wrong. You've had no Holiday. You've had no, gotten very little out of Ryan Howard. He's injured now. Papelbon is on the DL. To say it was on the DL and done for the season. Carlos Ruiz has been hurt, banged up. You have an aging roster where it's like, 30-something. I mean, Michael Young, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, even, Cliff Lee, all these guys are 34, 32, 33, 34, 36 years old. I mean, this is an old team, period. And the Phillies, the Phillies are making the mistake, Ruben Amaro, of not totally rebuilding and thinking that they actually believe that they could contend this year, which was a mistake. I mean, they could have got a lot for Cliff Lee. Could have got a lot for Cliff Lee had they put him on the market. He never got put on the market. So I don't understand, what the direction of the Philadelphia Phillies is. Remember, Ruben Amaro signed Ryan Howard to probably one of the worst baseball contracts in the last 10 years with this $125 million extension when he had 2 years left on his original deal. It made no sense, zero sense. And Howard hasn't been the same since. But even when he signed the contract, he said you shook your head like what? Like why would he not wait until he at least another year, or even wait until he reached free agency to sign this deal? I mean, you are an organization that has spent money. You have great rapport with him. He did win a championship here, there. So this is just again, this is just a horrible move by the Philadelphia Phillies. Are they that anxious to see what kind of manager Ryan Sandberg is? And I don't understand. Philadelphia has 41 games remaining. If they go 21, if they somehow, and it's not going to happen, let's say they go 27 and 14. Does that tell you that Ryan Sandberg is going to be a great manager? No. Let's say they were to go, 15 and 30, or excuse me, 15 and 27. Let's say 14 and 27. Does that tell you that Ryan Sandberg is going to be a bad manager? No. It's baseball. I mean, like, this is a horrible roster. It's an old team. They have no chance to make the playoffs. And remember, Philadelphia, as bad as they've been this year, right now they're 15 games under 500. After the All-Star break, there was a point before Atlanta got hot and before Philly really went into the tank. They were one game above 500, all right, in second place and only 6 games out in the division. Now, you never got a sense that they were going to overtake Atlanta to win the division, but still, it's not like the entire season has been a disaster for the Phillies. And it's not, they are not a good enough organization to let go somebody as good as Charlie Manuel. Charlie Manuel has one of the most impressive resumes for any active manager in baseball right now. When you look at his complete resume, 12 years, 10 winning seasons, 6 playoff appearances, and a championship. You go find me 5 managers current active with that can match that resume, please. I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I mean, I will say, obviously Jim Leland, Joe Girardi. Who else? I mean, Bruce Bochy out of San Francisco. List is short. I mean, think about it. I mean, think real hard. Even Ron Washington doesn't have a championship from Texas. He's been, I mean, they played well the last 3 or 4 years, but he doesn't have a championship, back-to-back pennants, but he hasn't won a championship. Who else? Buck Showalter's a good manager, but again, never been to a World Series. There are not five active managers with that kind of resume. Dusty Baker, excellent resume, has not won a championship, but very good resume over the course of his career, has won everywhere he's been. .347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, who can beat the Crimson Tide? We'll talk about team number one, who I think has a shot at taking out Alabama. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. We'll be right back. Minutes after 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Coleman Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As we talk about the world of sports, of course, college football kicks off in a couple of weeks. Alabama obviously comes into this season as the team to beat. Two-time defending BCS champions have won three out of the last four BCS championships. Right now, heads and shoulders above everybody in college football, and it makes you wonder who can beat them. That's going to be the question. That, to me, that's the number one question going into this college football season. Who can beat Alabama? They're about, I would say, right now, I can think of four teams off the top of my head, and I'm going to begin with Stanford. Stanford coming off a great season where they capped it off with a Rose Bowl win over Wisconsin, 20-14. Stanford is the type of team. First of all, the criteria for beating Alabama, number one to me, is physicality. You have to be physical, and like these high flying finesse teams like Oregon, those teams are going to get destroyed. Those teams, like, it doesn't work. You have to have a sense. You have to have physicality on both lines, on both sides of the ball. Stanford has been one of the best defenses in the country. Has had one of the best defenses in the country in the last 3 or 4 years. David Shaw done a tremendous job after Jim Harbaugh left to go to San Francisco. Nobody thought that Stanford was going to be as good as they were last year. Everybody thought USC or Oregon would win the Pac-12. When the Pac-12 will contend for a championship, will go to the Rose Bowl. Great defense. They have a tremendous offensive line. They have experience. 18 juniors and seniors that are returning. They have 8 starters back on defense. Now, schedule is not easy, especially it's backloaded. They have games with USC, of course, Oregon, Notre Dame, UCLA. 3 of those games will be at home, though. So they'll have Oregon, Notre Dame, and UCLA at home. They have to travel to USC, and this is not, by any stretch of imagination, a big-time USC team. Again, they're the type of team that could give Alabama fits, with the fact that they are physical, they're not going to be intimidated, and they are extremely, and I emphasize, extremely well coached. David Shaw will be a coach. If they have a big year this year, whether they win the championship or not, let's say they win 11 games and go to a BCS bowl, David Shaw's name will be mentioned amongst NFL circles next year. I guarantee you, he's that good. I give him 3 more years. I will venture to say that he'll probably be at Stanford for like 3 more years. I give him 2 more years at Stanford before he's coaching the NFL. I think he's a pro caliber coach. But again, look at how well they played over the last 3 seasons. They're bold, how well they performed. You know, won the Orange Bowl a couple years ago. Lost a classic game in the Fiesta Bowl 2012, and then last year won the Rose Bowl. So they play well in big games. They play well in bowl games. And again, they are a physical team on both lines of scrimmage, whether it be with the offensive line and the defensive line as well. So Stanford is my team, is my starting team as a legit chance at taking out Alabama. Next week we'll have team number 2. I'll let you know who that is. I'll let you know who that team is on next week's edition of the Cyril Gorman Review. But for this week, it is the Stanford Cardinal as they look to contend for a national championship. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, we began the program talking about Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez, of course, can't stay out of the news, even if he tried. Reports came out that he, along with people within his inner circle, leaked names, Ryan Braun and Francisco Cervelli, who was a teammate of A-Rod, by the way, in that Yahoo report back on February 5th, on those Biogenesis documents. I said this at the top of the program. I don't understand what A-Rod would have to gain by doing this. That's why I'm kind of. Normally, I would just assume that yes, A-Rod did do this because he's that stupid, and he really is, and he has that just a penchant of just making terrible decisions. But again, I'm just trying to figure out how does A-Rod win with this? That's why I'm trying to figure it out. There's no way A-Rod wins with this. You know, so he's going to do this to try to have the players union despise him. It's hard for me to believe that he would do this to get the players union against him. I don't understand what A-Rod's motivation for doing this would be, but it's out there. You already have players. Keep this in mind. You already have players who can't stand A-Rod and who don't even want him playing. I mean, John Lackey and Evan Longoria both believe he shouldn't even be playing right now. They came out and said this. So, the players union is Alex Rodriguez is one of the few friends Alex Rodriguez has right now. So again, I don't get, 60 Minutes, Yahoo, all they're doing is reporting the story, sources that they've gotten, and both of them have strong, both 60 Minutes and Yahoo, I trust their reporting, to be honest with you. Especially Yahoo. I mean, again, it's 60 Minutes. And we're not talking about some rinky-dink, show that's looking for ratings here. It's 60 Minutes. And again, A-Rod, A-Rod's defense is, of course, there's no chance this happened. I talk to Cervelli. We're good. People are just trying to tarnish my reputation, as if your reputation could be any further tarnished. I mean, yeah, please. So again, A-Rod in the news, can't stay out of the news, and this thing again. If this thing is true, A-Rod is finished. He's finished if this thing is true. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Gorman Review. We'll join you. I will see you next week. Next week, look out for a recap of the Breaking Bad episode 5-10 with myself and possibly Robert Sapp. So be on the lookout for that over the course of the week. over the course of the week. For my Serial Queen Review audience, I will see you Saturday, next Saturday, the 24th. Have a great weekend. So long.